obviously my prayers for the rapture to come before 11 were denied today. So this is happening. Pastor Jerry, I'll try not to do too much ASMR for you. Want to keep you awake. Good morning. Different view. And this is not going to go higher, so that's fine. If you would like to, yes.
It is my joy.
Oh, look at that. That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this is exciting. This is my first time taking over regular service. And my mom is here today. Brought my bodyguard, so if you have a problem with today, you can meet her outside. I will also be overanalyzing any exits from the sanctuary today. So I have made a double covering of prayer for your bladders. And that was more for my mental health versus your personal comfort. But just kidding. You can go to the bathroom whenever you want to. But I will be timing you. So. I really wanted to put a name badge on today that said, "Hello, I'm in training," because I'm considering today a little bit of a training of sorts, and not only just because this is my first time up here, but because I have never used this before, and so it is going to be, yeah, exactly, I have seen others try, and I have seen them fail. And so I'm just planning on that happening. So, all right, we got it. Okay, that's a good start. If you have brought Bible with you, could you turn to Philippians 1:9? We're gonna start there. I was gonna share a little bit about my recent call to ministry. That's something new. Since April, not really well publicized. And so I kind of wanted to just give you an update on that. So I have been in some sort of church ministry since I was in junior high. And whether that was youth council or different committees or teaching Sunday school upstairs to adults, now to kids downstairs, I've got my hands in a little bit of everything. But the Lord had pressed upon me even earlier on than when I made the decision to just go ahead and surrender to it, that there was a line of sight for me in vocational ministry. And I had, at the time, built up a business of my own that was thriving, and then COVID. But it's really hard to take something that you have built up from nothing and just say, I'm not going to do that anymore, especially because I was successful at it. And the silver lining of COVID is it gave me a real not like for it, for my job. I did not like my job, and that was a blessing. That was a blessing from God that I started to get a real distaste for what I did, and it made it a lot easier, not completely, to just walk away, but to say, I want something better, and I know God has something better for me. And so little by little, I started taking my grip off of that. And then in April, went down to a conference in California for the Church of God. And it was in a weird moment in a rental car with the radio on and every single song hammering me with what I was supposed to do, and now was the time, and to just do it. And so I did. So I don't know what the future looks like and what form of ministry the Lord has in store for me. That I'm still surrendering over to Him. I don't have a clear picture of what that is. I am going to be attending Warner in the fall. I'm 42 years old, and I have never gone to college. And so I'm entering a traditional program, so I'll be with, 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds. And I panicked and I got my face pierced so that they would accept me as one of their own. We'll see if it works. Probably not. My biggest fear is that I come home with some sort of schoolhouse nickname like Grandma Nikki or Big Mama or something like that. So keep that in your prayers. So that's kind of in a nutshell where we're at. And today is kind of a new beginning. And hopefully this will be more comfortable and keep happening more and more. And my love for public speaking, which is not high, but it's not low. It doesn't bother me, but it's not my favorite. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see where the Lord takes it. I'm eager to see where it goes. So we're going to spend some time together today talking about how lack of understanding can hurt credibility. And so my first case in point is my title for today. I do not know how to speak French. I don't know how to say these words. Does anybody know how to say French? Or speak French. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You speak French? Can you say that? Do you know what it means?
Yeah.
What's it? Say what? That they eat the bread. Okay. Does it sound like a similar saying that you've heard before? Let them eat cake. So it is a French, the origin of this saying is from is French. And they use the word brioche because that's what they like. And that's their form of cake. So, I'm already going behind here. All right. Yay. Let them eat brioche, which, lazy American translation, let them eat cake. So a lot of people think that this saying originated from Marie Antoinette, and that's actually been debunked. It was the easy way to go because she liked fancy things and she was opulent and spent a lot of money, and it actually wasn't. It was a term that was coined earlier when she was younger, so it had to have been somebody else that said it. And it was, according to Wikipedia, it has been said that the phrase was spoken by a great princess upon being told that the peasants had no bread. The French phrase mentions brioche, a bread enriched with butter and eggs, which was considered a luxury and a more expensive option. The quote is taken to reflect either the princess's frivolous disregard for the starving peasants or her poor understanding of their plight. When we speak of things we haven't experienced, whether well-meaning or not, it can show a lack of sensitivity. Lou Foltz was here on Sunday, last Sunday. Had a great sermon. Our audio on it was a little weird, so I would have encouraged you to go listen to it, but I bet we might. I don't know if we have CDs that didn't have the buzz, but there might. If you weren't here, try and get a copy of that. But it was called Beholding the Dawn, and in it he talked about content and context. And the difference between the two, the same with knowledge and wisdom and the difference between the two, knowledge being that of content, it being flat, and context being wisdom having depth. And that wisdom can only come by way of the light of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit brings clarity, color, depth, and sharpness to Scripture. We use the depth of things to then apply his wisdom to the situations of our own life. Super smart. Amazing guy. Best takeaway from Sunday. Have the Bible read to you by the Holy Spirit. I don't know who else, like, that was just like, of course, that's amazing. That's, of course you would do that. So good. But I, when I would, were listening to him speak, I was like, this is so, this correlates to one of the scriptures that I wanted to use. And hopefully you found it by now. It's Philippians 1:9. Oh, yep. Here we go. So here's one thing I'm learning. The font size matters. I will remember that. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's interesting to know a little bit of context about the city of Philippi, that it consisted of a colony of retired Roman soldiers. And I did not know that before my research. And it gives this scripture a little bit more depth to me. That living a hard life of law and order, that I'm not sure that love came naturally. You know, that feeling of softness and gentleness and warmth, and that it was found more in knowledge and depth of insight instead of emotion. But as soon as I was listening to Lou Foltz and thinking about this scripture, I was like, the words are actually in it. Like, it is right there. It says knowledge and depth of insight, content and context. And the love that he's talking about here that may abound more and more is not just relational up, but relational out. And that depth of insight and knowledge, that context and that content helps us to love each other more and better. And it makes sense. The more reliance we give to the Holy Spirit to interpret Scripture, the more our propensity to love God and love others. I don't know if you found that true for yourself, but I am definitely more loving when I am in the Word and on a regular basis. When we read Scripture without the light of the Holy Spirit, without that depth, we start to build cages. And this is going to be really hard to read, sorry. Without that depth, it is words on a page. And that's where you see when Jesus enters the picture, that he is the one that brings that context and depth to the Pharisees and the people of the day, truly, and in all areas. So, you know, he says, love your neighbors. What's the first question the guy asks? I'm going to put a box around this neighbor business. Like, tell me what my boundaries are. Who is my neighbor? Same with forgiveness. Well, how many times do I have to forgive the guy? Is it seven? Because that seems like a lot. And he's like, no, it's 77. It's infinity. Like, stop putting these cages up. Stop putting these walls or these boundaries. And the same goes not just for the, you know, fun stuff like mercy and grace and love, but also sin. He came in and he gave it more depth and he gave it more context. He said, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. Well, I tell you, don't even be angry. That is the equivalent. Do not commit adultery. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you, don't even look at another person with lust. That is the same to me. And he's just kicking down doors and walls and saying, hey, this is bigger. This is bigger than what you're reading it. He made it more accessible. And I think it'd be pretty naive, and that's the nice word I'll use, to think that we still don't sometimes do that, that we don't read scripture, that we read scripture flatly, and we read it to include limits that benefit us somehow, and exclude the Holy Spirit from correcting our wrong thinking and giving us that depth to make it more accessible to more people. Psalm 21:2 says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. I don't know a lot of things. I will say that. I don't know a lot of things. Jeremy, he doesn't know a lot of things. Zachary, he doesn't know a lot of things. You all don't know a lot of things. This is your chance. I'm going to give you a minute. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't know a lot of things. And it's okay. It's all right. It's a safe space. It's a safe space. All right. That was your one shot, guys. If you didn't take it, it's your own fault. But even collectively, put all of our knowledge together, we still don't know a lot of things. You take the global universe, and we still don't know a lot of things. And you know what? That shouldn't bum you out. That should actually relieve you. Because there is a lot of really bad stuff that you do not want to know. And there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people do know that you don't want to know. And the thing about knowledge is that you become responsible to it. Whether you like that or not, you now have a responsibility to that information. And this is where Nikki's translation of faith without deeds is dead. That's what that means to me. That I have information given to me, depth of insight given to me by the Holy Spirit, and I don't use it, or I use it improperly. And to me, that is a faith without deeds. You have a personal responsibility to the revelation of truth given to you from the Holy Spirit. But we still say things to broken people with the limited amount of knowledge that we actually have, missing that context and depth of insight. I have a little bit of a theory about Samson. Not Samson, I'm sorry. I did write Samson. I didn't mean that. Solomon. I have a theory about Solomon. Would you like to hear it? It doesn't matter because I'm going to tell you anyway. So when you read Proverbs, what's the vibe you get? Just wondering. No wrong answer. Because I'll tell you, I get kind of a downer vibe. I get a guy that's lived a hard life. that has a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom, and he's been responsible for that wisdom, and it's taken a toll on him. And you can see it in the way that he escapes. You know, he's got all these women. He's got all these riches. There's got to be a release from that responsibility, and that, and it manifests itself in a bad way. But that is a heavy crown to wear. Heavy is the head that wears that crown. I would not want that. And I read Proverbs with reverence because I feel for him. I feel for him. And I'm thankful to him because he does impart his wisdom, which a lot of people don't necessarily do. And he was faithful to do that, even though it's kind of a downer sometimes. But you know what? It was also true. And sometimes things are downers. And that information still needs to be shared. I really enjoy documentaries. Do you guys, any fans of documentaries out there? Good. Good. My kind of love for it, I think, started earlier on. I've shared this in Sunday school class before. I'm just going to double check. Okay, we're still good. Okay. My grandparents, on my dad's side of the family, they would watch us after school. So when my sister and I were in grade school, they would come to the school and they'd pick us up and we'd go to their house and spend a few hours until my mom or my dad got off work and they'd come pick us up. And my grandma, I attribute to my love of musicals because she just loved musicals and she'd have a great array of VHS tapes for us to watch, and old black and white musicals. And then my grandpa, if he had control of the television, which he didn't have a lot, but when he did, or when he was listening to something, it was either Paul Harvey or it was this box set of Victory at Sea, this boxed VHS set, and in my kid brain, I feel like it was this big. It just was. There's so many of them. It's six tapes. I looked it up online. It was like nothing. But even as a young kid, he would pop those in and we would watch them. And you know, this is the 80s, so it was okay to put your grade school child up in front of the television with live war scenes and people dying right in front of you. But I'll tell you what, it actually gave me such a reverence for those servicemen and actually that entire generation. And I don't know that I would have had that and still have that today if that weren't a part of my experience there. It also made me want to learn more. I was the kid doing the book reports on Hiroshima when everybody else is doing it on like unicorns or something. You know, it was like, I wanted to know more about that because it interests me. And that never really died. And my dad also, he was very much into documentaries. The History Channel was on most of the time. And he'd be watching war stuff, or he would be watching JFK. Yeah, pretty much conspiracy theories, and also just like information about him. But it was there was always something like that going on, and so I developed a real fondness for it. And I really actually like all kinds of cinema, all kinds of film, but there is a fondness for documentaries because it allows me more insight and more rounder picture of a set of events or a person. It gives me a heightened sensitivity to what they went through. And so I actually really, really enjoy watching documentaries. And I know that can be kind of boring for some people, but I have started recently watching documentaries that kind of blur. You have to be careful. Blur the line between documentary and propaganda. You know, there is a line there sometimes that is blurred. And so what I really appreciate about Lou Foltz talking about having the Holy Spirit read scripture to you, I pray when I know that a documentary is going to be maybe counter to what I believe or what I believed up until that point, you know, that he be with me, that he filter that for me. But sometimes there are, when you can get past that and see through it and discern it for what it is, then there is some truth to be had that can give you a better picture of whoever it is the subject is about. And recently, I decided that I was going to watch a documentary on Netflix. And Netflix and Prime, forget about it. It's like thousands of documentaries. There's just tons of them. But I wanted to watch a documentary that was called Pray Away. And I don't know if you've watched it, but if you had, the premise of it is basically going through real life experiences of people who participated in conversion therapy from going from a homosexual to a heterosexual, or going through the process of trying to reform. And I knew that it would be challenging. I knew that it had a tilt that was not kind to the church, because these programs were run by church organizations. And I knew that going in. So that's important because it prepares you and it helps give it some kind of boundaries. Yeah, and context. Thank you. But I like to watch them because they stretch me. They stretch me and they show me a different point of view that I don't know. I am ignorant in that area, but I love those brothers and sisters, and so I want to be able to communicate with them love in the best way possible. And so I like doing this. I've watched other ones where it was, you know, challenge my politics, challenge my education, just all kinds of different things out there. And I'm not saying that that's for everybody, and I'm not even saying I'm a proponent of it, but I'm telling you this because I want you to know my experience. And so I watched the film, and I was moved. I was moved in a way that that broke my heart. And the most dangerous prayer I've ever prayed was, "Lord, break my heart for people," because he is faithful to do that. And I was having a real hard time finding love for people. And honestly, that was my job, was people, and it kind of still is. But I was having such a hard time not being angry all the time with what people were doing. And I just was like, I threw up my hands and I was like, I need some help here, because I am obviously not able to do this on my own. And so the Holy Spirit has really taken this form of media to break my heart for people. And And it's mostly because I am not in those communities per se. So I'm not always around people who I am watching a documentary about. And that's good. That's because I want to know more about that community and what they are about. And so I watched it, and the film, you know, it went through the a long period of time. It had people who were actively, like, members and teachers and people who'd gone through the program. There was really no psychiatric science or research to it. It was mainly behavior modification, which is a Band-Aid. I mean, when we're getting right down to it. And so the large majority of these folks have reverted back to their lifestyles. And some in the program, because once they would go through the program and, you know, graduated, then they would have them go out, get married, have babies as soon as you can, and, like, that never complicates things, having kids. But there were so many stories about how they felt such shame and failure when things didn't come together how it was supposed to. And to the point where the stats were 75% of, or folks who had gone through the program had a 75% chance, higher chance than people who did not go through the program, of trying to commit suicide at some point in their life. It broke them, and it made them carry the shame, like they could not be loved in their brokenness. And that broke my heart, because they are loved right where they are, in their brokenness, as all of us are. And so I went to bed just crushed. I was crying. I was a mess. And I sought the Holy Spirit, and I said, I don't understand this. This is something I don't understand, and I want answers, because I want to love these people well. And I prayed. I was crying and praying, crying and praying. And sorry, I'm going to get emotional. And the Lord was faithful and gave me somewhere to turn to get depth of insight. And it was the parable of the banquet in Luke chapter 14. And you can follow along up if you can see it, geez. But okay, I'm gonna read it from here. To set the scene, Jesus is at a dinner party, basically, with other Pharisees and other teachers, and they are watching him like a hawk, and to the point where he's asking them questions, and they're just not answering. Like, they just want to see what he does. And when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So I'm not unfamiliar with that parable. But there was something about it that I didn't really think about before, and that was who I was in the story. And I think most of the time when I've read this, I've associated myself more with the servant that's evangelizing, that's going out, that's grabbing the people, that's bringing them in. And I felt like that's not right. And the more I thought about it, in the context of who he's talking to, I am not the servant. I'm not the originally invited. That's the Jewish people. I am not the servant. So I'm not the master. I didn't invite everybody. I have no control over who gets invited. I am the crippled. I am the lame. I am the blind. I am the broken. I'm the lonely out in the country. And that was a real eye-opening thought for me, that it was making that accessible, that experience accessible, that anybody who would like to come in has a spot at that table. That table is infinite. I mean, it's for everyone. And I somehow lucked out, thank you, Mom, thank you, Holy Spirit, that I have a spot. But I don't get the say in who sits next to me or who sits down the way. If they want to come, they can come, and there's a spot for them. So figuring out who I am and who I am not was real eye-opening for me, and levels the playing field, because I don't have a spiritual superiority because I love a man. And the sooner we can get to realizing we are all at that table and lucky to be there, then we can start having real conversations with people, and we can start enjoying the diversity at the table across from us and next to us. And so this is where I'm like, so okay, I've got this knowledge now. I've got this depth of insight. I'm responsible for it. So where do I go from here? And the first thing is, I am vowing to stay hungry. And for me, that means being uncomfortable, continuing to put myself in areas that stretch me, that make me think, outside what I've been taught. And I know that that has its dangerous aspects, but let me tell you what, it has been life-giving for me. I have gained so much more sensitivity to people by listening to their stories. I don't have to agree with them. But just listening to their stories gives me a sensitivity to that community. And I'm not an expert. This doesn't make me an expert. But it makes it so I'm not making stupid princess claims that are not relevant, that are not, that show my lack of sensitivity. So I'm going to stay hungry. And you know what else? I'm going to put myself, I'm going to purposefully put myself in situations that where I am not the majority, okay? That I, that there are people that believe other things than I do, that have had a different life experience than I have, and that might be less pain, that might be more pain, but I want to stay next to new stories. I want to hear new stories. And then I'm going to seek the Holy Spirit. I'm going to seek the Holy Spirit first. Honestly, I should have switched those, but I'm going to seek the Holy Spirit, because that's the thing. When the thing that protects me in those situations is the Holy Spirit. And He allows the discerning part. He's the wisdom in it. He's the one that filters it so that I can get to the heart of the of what I need to know. Because there are things I do not need to know, and He's going to filter that for me, and it's going to make me a better person by seeking Him. And then I'm going to savor the company. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to be the salt of the earth. I am going to not be a miserable person. I'm going to savor the company around me. I'm going to enjoy hearing people's stories. I'm going to enjoy new cultures. I want to hear the life stories at the table. I bet people got some really, really amazing stories of how God is working in their life. And I don't know that unless I ask, unless I sit next to them, unless we come up with a bond, you know? So I'm going to savor the company. And that is what I am going to do. I hope it inspires a little bit or a lot. But this is my journey. This is where the Holy Spirit is taking me right now. And this part is also exciting about how the future manifests itself is going to be because of these new experiences and these new relationships. And I'm eager. I'm excited. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and I'm going to do something a little bit, I don't know, I guess it might not be unconventional, but kind of is. So I'm going to have you bow your heads, and this is my prayer for you, Rockwood. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.